Out of darkness bursts a bright light. It emanates from a torch held aloft by a woman in flowing white and blue robes, who stands on top of a plinth against a background of blue sky and clouds. The word Columbia appears above the woman. A horizontal red line rolls down the screen, the word Largo appearing behind it. It stops halfway down and the word Entertainment appears below it. White letters on a black background. Largo Entertainment presents. The remaining titles and credits appear over views of a red dawn breaking over rugged New Mexico hills. A Storm King production. James Woods. Daniel Baldwin. Cheryl Lee. Thomas Ian Griffith. And Maximilian Schell in John Carpenter's Vampires. With Tim Guinea, Gregory Sierra, Mark Boone Jr. Music composed by John Carpenter. A large clapboard house stands alone beside a pond. Some distance away, Jack Crow, a lean man in his late 40s, stands beside an armored truck studying the house through binoculars. He wears jeans and a black leather jacket. Montoya, another slightly younger, fatter man wearing a denim shirt and a waistcoat, finishes urinating next to the truck and walks up to him.
How's it look?
Like another New Mexican shithole. Perfect spot for a nest.
Jack lowers his binoculars and glances up at the sun, which is now high in the sky. He checks his watch.
Let's hit it.
Jack walks over to the armored truck and gets in. Montoya walks over to an open-top CJ7 Jeep with a spotlight array on its roll bar and gets in that. They start up their vehicles and move off down the dirt track towards the house. Special makeup effects by Robert Kurtzman, Gregory Nicotero, and Howard Berger. Production design by Thomas A. Walsh. Costume designer Robin Michelle Bush. Film editor Edward A. Warshilka. Director of Photography Gary B. Kibb, ASC. Executive producer Bar Potter. Co-producer Don Jacoby. Produced by Sandy King. Based on the novel Vampires by John Stakely. Screenplay by Don Jacoby. Directed by John Carpenter. Jack and Montoya pull up outside the house and get out of their vehicles. They look over to the building. Jack wears shades and has an automatic pistol stuffed in his belt. Jack looks over at Montoya and nods. Montoya nods in affirmation, goes over to the armored truck and opens the back doors. A group of five tough-looking men and a padre get out. Jack stands at the front gate of the house. Montoya climbs up onto his Jeep and begins unloading some equipment. Meanwhile, the men are also unloading equipment from the truck. Jack stares intently at the front door of the house through his shades. The men put on flak jackets and Dainese body armor. One of the men hands a colleague a large silver spear from the truck. Another opens a case containing a pair of steel mesh gloves. Jack keeps staring at the front door of the house. One of the men takes a wooden stake out of a crate of them and kisses it. Another puts a bandolier of shotgun shells on over his jacket. Jack pulls on a pair of black leather gloves. Montoya hands him a metal crossbow loaded with a sharp bolt.
All right, Gio.
The padre.
Benedicat vos omnipotens Deus. In nomine Patris et Filii
Et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.
Everything set? Ready, boss. All right, we think we got a nest inside this place. Figure on at least 6 goons, maybe more. And chances are we'll find the master in here somewhere. Rule number 5, if you find the nest, you find the master. He usually won't leave it on its own. So it is strictly by the book today, gentlemen. Questions?
No one has any. Jack glances up at the sun again.
Let's get to work.
The men follow Jack and they walk towards the house, leaving Montoya and the Padre by the vehicles. Jack and the men stand at the front gate looking at the house for a moment before walking towards the weathered front door. They walk up onto the front porch and take up positions on either side of the door. Jack stands in front of it and tries the door handle. It's locked. Jack stands back from the door. Montoya and the Padre bring the Jeep in through the front gate of the house. On the porch, one of the men approaches the door with a sawing device. He operates it, turns to Jack and nods, then steps back from the door. The device has cut the door handle out, leaving a circular hole in it. One of the men turns to Jack.
I'll do it, boss. My turn.
Jack hands his crossbow to one of the men and steps up to the door. He removes his sunglasses, crouches down and looks through the hole. Satisfied it's all clear, he sticks his hand through the hole and feels inside for the latch. He undoes it. One of the men hands him his crossbow back and he cautiously pushes the door open. The interior of the house is in darkness, the windows having been boarded up. Jack reaches up and opens the second side of the double doors. Montoya prepares a winch on the front of the Jeep while the Padre smokes. Montoya puts a headset on as Jack and the other men venture inside the house. Their weapons have torches mounted on them so they can see. They edge carefully into the hallway and Jack indicates to a couple of the men to start unboarding the windows. They do so. As light floods into the hallway through the grubby windows, one of the men with long hair, Anthony, tries a door.
Anthony. Easy with that door. Slow.
He opens it.
Jesus.
Anthony looks back round at Jack, then peers through the door. Montoya and the Padre.
What was that?
I don't know.
In the house, the men look down at a desiccated corpse which fell out of the doorway. Satisfied there's no danger, Jack gets on the radio.
I wake you up out there, Montoya?
Relax, dead body. Blood out and cold. Been here a while.
Dead body, blood out and cold.
The Padre nods.
Suck it up.
Jack leads the way deeper into the house and walks into what was once the living room. The men follow behind him, shining their torch beams around the room. Jack spots a door at the end of the room and signals to the men to take up positions around it. He hands his crossbow to one of them and, drawing his automatic from his belt, moves cautiously towards the door. He looks sheepishly at the men after kicking a can on the floor, then carefully reaches for the door handle and, after a final nod to the men, pulls the door slowly open. There's nothing there. Suddenly, a female vampire flies across the back of the room and lands on one of the men's backs. The vampire hangs on the man's back and tries to bite his neck. The man succeeds in throwing her off and the rest of the men open fire on her. She collapses onto the floor.
What?
I don't know, Padre. Hang on a minute.
While she's down, the men reload.
What's going on in there, boys?
The vampire stares up at them with her vulpine yellow eyes.
Hey, Deo, don't leave me fucking hanging. What's going on in there?
Yeah, we got a live one. Female goon.
She starts to get up.
Yeah, we'll save her for you, Montoya.
She gets up onto her hands and knees. Jack gets his crossbow ready.
Open wide, baby.
As Jack is about to fire, a male vampire drops down from the roof and barges Jack aside. Anthony and another man attack the female with spears.
Come on, Anthony, stick her!
Jack picks up the crossbow.
Clear! Take her!
He shoots the female in the chest, the male's machine gun.
Montoya, we got a fish! Go, go!
Go for Montoya.
The bolt from the crossbow is attached to a steel cable, which is in turn attached to the winch on the Jeep. Montoya starts up the winch and the female is dragged away. The men pin the male in a corner with spears. The female grabs hold of a pipe, preventing her being dragged any further. Jack shoots the female's hand off and she's dragged away.
Safety on, boss! Clear! Clear!
Jack fires another bolt into the male's chest.
Oh, Lord.
As the female is dragged out into the sunlight, she bursts into flames. One of the men drives a wooden stake into the male's skull. The vampire grabs hold of it and pulls it back out. Jack thumps him.
Hey! Come on! Right here!
Jack pushes a second stake into the vampire's chest and wrestles with the creature as he drives it into its heart. The vampire finally lies still. Jack catches his breath and gets to his feet.
Fuck it, not only ugly, it smells bad. Jeez, give me the radio. Everybody okay?
Yeah, boss.
One time we got another one. He's dead. Send out the cable, hook him up.
Yeah, give me a minute, all right? May her soul and the souls of all the faithful departed, with the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen.
The Padre sprinkles holy water over the flaming remains of the female vampire. Montoya crouches down and, using a stick, picks the skull up off the floor and blows it out.
Nothing like a little head, eh, Padre?
The Padre shrugs. Montoya takes the skull and puts it on the hood of the Jeep. In the house, Jack and the men regroup.
Okay, boys. Time to mop it up. Dale, I tell you, Bambi upstairs. Catelyn, Anthony Davis, basement.
Jack puts a cigar in his mouth and chews on it. As the day progresses, another vampire is hauled out onto the front porch by the winch. As it is exposed to the light, it bursts into flames. Montoya whistles as he works. A female's dragged out.
Enjoy the barbecue, baby!
As she approaches the front door, she begins to smoulder. Once out in the sunlight, she goes up in flames. Montoya and the Padre look on. As the vampire burns, the Padre crosses himself and steps forward with the holy water. Another vampire is dragged, kicking and struggling through the house on the end of the winch. The Padre shields his eyes as it goes up in smoke. A further vampire with three wooden stakes sticking out of it is winched out into the sun. By the end of the day, there is a heap of charred remains piled in front of the Jeep. One of the men counts the skulls lined up on the Jeep's hood as Jack strikes a match on one of them.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9! Goons, man! It's not a bad day's work.
I love it, my lucky number. You're the man, boo.
Montoya looks at Jack.
What is it, Jack? Something wrong?
Yeah. Where was the master? You want us to check the house one more time? He's not there.
The men look back over their shoulders at the house.
You don't suppose there's another nest somewhere, do you?
Sure as hell better not be.
The men head off to change out of their vampire hunting gear. As the sun sets, it bathes the old house in a red glow and the vampire hunters' vehicles start to drive away. As they go, a patch of loose earth in a field nearby erupts and two clawed hands break out of the ground. Later, at the Sun God Motel, two young women in hot pants walk along beside the veranda. In the motel, the vampire hunters are drinking and making merry with a selection of hookers in skimpy outfits. The Padre is also there and talks with the local sheriff.
Thank you for all your help.
Yeah, Father, I've spent the last 2 weeks running whores and buying out liquor stores for this bunch. When the hell are they going to leave?
Jack.
Clearing out tomorrow.
Well, I can't say that I'm sorry to hear it.
Jack pours himself a drink and eyes the sheriff.
You get that little package from us?
Yeah, I got it.
Good, then. You're happy, then.
Y'all work together?
That's right.
What you do?
We kill vampires.
I briefed Rome, and they're wiring a payment to the Moderate account.
Thanks, Joe.
Also, Cardinal Alba's flying into Santa Fe. He wants to meet with you tomorrow.
Tomorrow's my day off.
Jack, not anymore. Listen, what do you figure happened to the master?
I don't know, Padre. A master won't usually leave a nest filled with goons.
Yeah, but what says he's still in New Mexico? You know, he could be anywhere by now.
Why would he run? It's not like he knew we were coming.
Montoya.
No, really. What do you guys do?
I'm not kidding. We kill vampires. Hey, Catelyn, tell the lady what we do for a living.
Kill vampires. Hunt them down. Kick the shit out of them.
Right.
How you feel, baby? Nobody believes in vampires.
See, the thing is, we know vampires are stalking the earth. We also know there's a god, too.
We just don't understand him.
Jack talks with Katrina, a blonde.
Nice party.
He glances back in the motel.
So you look like you got something other than me on your mind.
Jack smiles.
You like telling me about it?
He shakes his head.
I was just looking for something today. I didn't find it.
She throws her head back.
That can be a real pain in the ass.
He throws his cigar butt on the floor and stamps it out. She moves in close to him.
Maybe you should try looking somewhere else.
She puts her hand on his shoulder.
I can tell you where you might want to start.
Jesus, you're right. I should have been looking in a whole different place.
He nuzzles her neck and she smiles sexily.
So why don't you go get me something to drink? And we can meet back in your room.
He hands her his room key. She takes it, stares seductively at him for a moment, then slinks off.
That's the first good idea I heard today.
In the motel, the girls have taken their tops off and are performing an impromptu striptease for the men. Anthony gets rather excited and chews a glove. He then picks up a table lamp and throws it through a window. Outside in the car park, the owner of the clawed hands we saw erupting from the ground earlier has decided to pay the intrepid vampire hunters a visit. The master wears a long, flowing, black, crushed velvet coat and has black shoulder-length hair. He strolls across the car park, then comes to a halt, listening to the frolicking vampire hunters within. His pale, white face cracks a smile. In the motel, Jack speaks to one of his men.
Dale, give me a couple of beers, will you?
An inebriated padre approaches Jack.
Padre?
You are magnificent, you know? I told you that.
You better slow down, Padre.
No, I'm not drunk.
Oh, really?
No.
What are you, on acid?
The door to Jack's motel room opens and Katrina looks in. She's wearing a black mini skirt and a lilac top. She steps inside, shuts the door and puts her bag down. Unseen by her, the master is stuck, lizard-like, to the ceiling watching her. He swoops down off the roof and the screen goes red. Katrina lies on her back on the bed, gasping as the master bites the inside of her right thigh. He runs his hand over her abdomen and breasts.
Doesn't it feel beautiful? Something you'll never forget. I know I won't.
He grins and goes back to sucking her thigh. She smiles in orgasmic delight. Back at the party.
I think we're out of beer.
Oh, no. I think we ought to knock over a liquor store.
Yeah, why not? I don't give a shit anymore.
No. I got beer. A beer in the other room. Fucking people, I don't know why I didn't take care of everybody.
The woman climbs onto one of the man's colleagues.
And you. You don't go anywhere.
Okay.
I got plans for you.
The man opens the door of the motel and comes face to face with the master. The master steps forward and shoves his hand blade-like into the man's abdomen, then rips it upward like a knife. The man sinks to his knees and falls apart like a sliced peach. The revelers are alarmed at the sight and leap to their feet in a panic. The master steps into the room and breaks another man's neck. He summarily kills a girl and the sheriff, and then moves on to massacre everyone else. The master plunges his arm through a man's torso and throttles a girl on the far side. One of the vampire hunters opens up on the master with a machine gun, but he ignores the bullets as if they were peas. Jack looks in and sees the master grab a girl as the man shoots him with a handgun. The bullets hit the girl, killing her. The master then throws her aside and the man lunges at him with a wooden stake. Jack spots his crossbow on top of a cupboard inside the room. The master breaks the man's neck, then slashes Anthony's throat open with his nails. Jack leaps into the room, firing on the master with his pistol, which doesn't seem to bother the master much at all. Jack gets his crossbow off the top of the cupboard.
Jack Crow.
Surprised, Jack looks up at the master, who holds his hand out towards him. The padre shoots the master in the back with a shotgun. The master spins around and grabs the padre. Jack and Montoya watch horrified as the master puts the gun to the padre's face. No! And pulls the trigger, spraying the padre's brains all over the ceiling. Jack and Montoya run out of the motel into the car park, firing at the master all the way.
Wait, pick up! Keys!
Jack sees Katrina.
Come on, come with me!
He notices her lolling limply. Jack picks her up in a fireman's lift. Montoya's in a pickup.
Leave the bitch! She's fucking dead anyway!
Just take her! I can use her! No.
Jack bundles her into the pickup, then climbs in and they drive off. The master comes out of the motel. Jack looks out of the back window and sees him.
Step out of Montoya, goddammit!
The master watches them go.
Hit it!
I'm going!
The pickup bats down a country road with all its lights on. Montoya looks over his shoulder through the back window.
Jesus Christ, Jack, he's right behind us!
Come on, now!
The master gains on them.
Hit it!
The master flies through the air, lands in the back of the pickup and smashes the back window. Montoya shoots the master between the eyes with his revolver. The force of the shot blows the master clean out of the back of the pickup. He lands in a heap in the road. Slowly, he picks himself up. Later, as the sun comes up, Jack, Montoya and Katrina are still driving along in the pickup. Jack and Montoya look out of the back window. When Jack turns around... A horse box has been left in the road. Montoya swerves to avoid it and in so doing drives off the road. The pickup turns over and rolls down a bank, coming to rest on its wheels, but badly smashed up. The driver's door opens and Montoya falls out onto the ground. Jack lurches out of the passenger's door and slowly makes his way around to the back of the vehicle. He sits down on the tailgate, rubbing the back of his head.
You okay?
Montoya pulls himself up onto his hands and knees as Jack walks around the pickup to him. He pats Montoya on the back, then looks in on Katrina.
Did you walk? You alive? Come on! Come on!
What are you doing?
She's going with us.
Oh, fuck. You just bit her, man.
She hasn't turned yet. Come on.
Well, she's on her way.
It's under 48 hours. The telepathic link with the master won't hold.
So what? After that, he's going to start receiving his thoughts, seeing what he sees.
Exactly. Like a surveillance camera, so we can find him and shove a stake right up his ass. I'm going to use this piece of shit to get to the master and to whoever tipped him off. Come on, Tony. We were set up. He knew my fucking name. Come on. Come on.
Who the fuck set us up?
I don't know, but I want the son of a bitch. Can you walk? Hey, wake up. Can you walk?
Mm-hmm.
Are you with me? Come on! Can you hear me? Well?
Fuck yeah, this ain't my first time to dance. Let's go.
Jack roughly shoves Katrina ahead of them, and they walk off. Later, they walk along beside the road under the blazing New Mexico sun. Jack gives Katrina a shove in the back, and she falls over. Montoya helps her back up onto her feet. They're still walking, and Katrina is looking much the worse for wear. Montoya bends down and picks up a stone, which he throws up the road. Later, the trio are by the side of the road in a small town, just down from a gas station. Montoya leans against a telegraph pole, while Jack and Katrina sit nearby on some logs. Jack smokes a cigar. A maroon Cadillac hoves into view over the horizon and approaches the small town. The Cadillac pulls into the gas station, and the driver gets out. The petrol station attendant comes out to meet him. Montoya walks towards Jack and Katrina, and signals to them. Jack nods. Montoya nods in affirmation, then walks towards the gas station drawing his gun. Remaining on the logs, Jack also draws his gun. The Cadillac driver is busy filling his car up with petrol as Montoya walks up the road towards him. As the driver replaces the nozzle on the pump, Montoya leans in the driver's window and looks at the interior of the car.
Hey, cowboy!
Montoya cocks his concealed gun.
Can I help you?
Yeah, I'm gonna borrow your car.
The driver frowns. Shh.
Just say help yourself.
Want me to say what?
Hey, shut the fuck up, or I'll blow your fucking teeth out of the back of your head, asshole. Back off!
Help yourself, boy.
Much obliged, partner.
Montoya hops in the car, starts it up, and drives off down the road to Jack and Katrina. Jack gets Katrina on her feet. They run to the car. Jack bundles Katrina in through the back door.
Get in!
He throws his jacket in after her, then scrambles into the front, taking over the driving from Montoya. They pull away from the curb in a cloud of dust. The Cadillac motors down mile after mile of dead straight highway. Katrina sleeps in the back of the car. Jack adjusts his rearview mirror with blood-stained hands. He glances over his shoulder at Katrina. Later, the Cadillac pulls up back at the Sun God Motel. Jack and Montoya look over at the building. After a moment's consideration, Jack glances into the back of the car at Katrina.
Take her to Apache Springs, Plaza Hotel. Hole up there. I'll find you as soon as I can. Dump this thing and take the Jeep.
You can't bury them all, Jack.
Get going.
I need to talk to you.
We're wasting time.
Rule number 7.
God damn.
Never bury a team member by yourself.
This comes under special circumstances.
The whole fucking team's been slaughtered.
I can handle it.
Bullshit. You know better.
Jack stops in his tracks, turns around, looks at Montoya and shrugs.
You got any bright ideas?
Yeah. We kill the whore, bury the team together, and head back to Monterey.
Jack licks his lips and takes a few steps back towards his black-haired, blue-eyed colleague.
If you want to pull out, go ahead.
I didn't say that.
Somebody's changed the rules. We gotta do whatever it takes. We got less than 11 hours until the sun goes down. If you got something else to say, spit it the fuck out!
Yeah, I got something else to say. Don't take too fucking long.
Montoya shrugs and smiles at Jack.
You're nervous when you're not around.
He pats Jack on the arm and gets back in the Cadillac. Jack walks back towards the motel. Inside, Jack looks the place over. It's strewn with the bodies of his former colleagues, the sheriff and the hookers. He walks around the blood-soaked room for a while, then sets to work. He plunges a stake into one of the corpses with his hands, then hammers it home with a mallet. He uses a hatchet to sever the head of the man who answered the door to the master. Out on the highway, Montoya drives the Jeep along with Katrina lolling beside him. Jack picks up the Padre's shotgun and tosses it to one side, then drives a stake into the Padre's chest with a mallet. He takes a quick look at the man who had his neck broken, then uses a fire axe to chop his head off. Jack puts the severed head along with the others in a blood-soaked bedsheet. Out on the road, Montoya drives away from a store, munching on a snack. Back in the motel, Jack walks through the building, sousing the place with petrol from a jerry can. Jack stands at the entrance to the motel and sloshes the last of the jerry can's contents onto the floor, then throws the can down. He puts a cigar in his mouth and lights it with a Zippo lighter. He holds the lighter up for a moment and then throws it into the motel and walks out. The place bursts into flames behind him. As the motel is engulfed in flames, Jack walks across the parking lot to the armored truck without looking back. He gets into the truck as sheets of orange flame swallow the building. Jack drives off just as the last of the motel is swallowed by the flames, a pall of thick black smoke rising into the air above it. Jack dumps the sheet full of severed heads in a narrow gully by a roadside, then using a shovel, covers it over with earth. Back on the road again, Jack drives along in the truck. He removes his sunglasses and wipes his face with his hand. He notices a small crucifix hanging from the sun visor next to him, and he regards it laconically. It's dark, and Montoya arrives outside the Plaza Hotel. He parks the Jeep up at the curbside outside it and gets out. At reception...
How you doing? I need a room.
For how long?
A few days.
It's $375 a week, plus $25 for your cable TV.
Montoya begins to count out the money.
What's the fucking total, guy?
That's $400. Is that your girlfriend?
No, it's my fucking mother. Give me the key.
The desk clerk hands him the room key. Montoya goes back outside to the Jeep and bangs on the passenger's door.
Hey. Come on. Take my arm.
Katrina takes Montoya's arm and very unsteadily steps out of the Jeep. He shuts the door behind her and leads her towards the hotel.
Wake up, will you? Let's go.
Jack's in a phone box.
Jack Crow. Cerrillos and 14th in Santa Fe. Need immediate pickup. None of them. I'm alone. Dead.
Sources close to the investigation report that all the bodies were decapitated. The remains of the heads were found buried a mile away from the murder scene. The number of confirmed dead now stands at 19, with police still combing the ruins of the motel. Of course, we'll be standing by here all day to bring you any further updates.
Montoya watches the news report in the hotel room. Katrina lies asleep on the bed. In a simple bedroom, Jack has his cuts and bruises tended to by a Catholic priest. Jack glares into the distance as a bandage is applied to his shoulder, lost in his own thoughts. A freight train rattles along through the night. The master climbs up onto the top of the train and, keeping low, hangs onto the roof. The next morning, Jack walks through the grounds of a monastery. He approaches a heavily built black priest who frisks him and reaches for the gun in his belt. Jack stops him from taking it.
Forget it.
Jack walks into an office. A bearded cardinal, Cardinal Alba, sits behind a desk.
Jack, buongiorno. Come, please, sit down.
Jack kisses Cardinal Alba's ring and sits. He notices a young bearded priest.
Who's this?
Oh, this is Father Adam, Quito. Father Adam is in charge of our archives. Bookworm. And he's completely familiar with all your activities, so speak freely. Tell me what happened.
Jack leans towards the cardinal.
We cleaned out the nest near Fort Union. Mm-hmm. That night a master showed up. No master was ever like this. Superhuman strength, unkillable, like a machine. We didn't stand a chance. So tell me if I'm wrong, Cardinal. But couldn't he be the one that we always talked about? The one that we knew would come along one day?
There are some other developments. sad developments.
The Cardinal stands.
Tom. Our Tom. Our Tom Callan is dead. And the whole European team is wiped out.
When? 3 days ago. Callahan's team was clearing a large nest near Cologne, Germany. Local authorities reported it as a terrorist act.
Jack leafs through gory photos of the scene.
We found this at the site.
Father Adam hands Jack an old medieval painting of the master he encountered.
Is he the one?
Jack looks at the Cardinal.
Yes.
Cardinal Alba exchanges a look with Father Adam.
What is this?
Celebratum. It's medieval Latin for celebrate. Celebrate this.
Celebrate what?
Well, we don't know.
I've authenticated the portrait. It was painted in 1340. The subject's name was Valak, Jan Valak, born in Prague, 1311. He was a priest who turned against the church and led the Bohemian peasants in an uprising, actually capturing several small towns. Valak was captured. He was tried for heresy and burned at the stake. But after his death, there were reports that he was seen walking at night. It was said he killed the living to drink their blood. They opened his grave, and it was found empty. It's the first known case of vampirism.
A priest. Valak is not like the other masters we have hunted before. He's the first and most powerful. Of our slayers, you are the only one who faced Valak and survived.
Jack puts on his shades.
Go on back out. You mind if I hang on to this?
Jack, I've been in contact with Rome. The Vatican Council requests that you rebuild your team.
There isn't time.
You are to return to Monterey, recruit new team members, and try again when you are at full strength. Father Adam will accompany you and take the place of poor Father Giovanni.
I don't think so.
Jack takes the picture.
Jack? Jack? This is non-negotiable.
Valak is the original, the source of the disease. The first vampire created by the Catholic Church.
By accident.
Shut the fuck up. This was your fight, Cardinal. Now it is mine.
Jack?
Jack!
Jack turns in the doorway.
If you refuse to obey the rules, the operation will be cancelled. The funding withdrawn.
Jack glares at the Cardinal.
You have any idea how this Valak knows my name?
Cardinal Alba looks over at Father Adam. Jack sneers at Father Adam and goes out. Father Adam heads off after him. Just as he gets to the door, the Cardinal speaks to him.
Stay close to him.
Father Adam nods and heads out after Jack. Back in the Plaza Hotel, Katrina lies naked, face down, asleep on the bed. Her hands are tied to the bed frame and a piece of gaffer tape has been stuck over her mouth. She slowly opens her eyes and wakes up as Montoya walks into the room. She looks over as he comes in. He carries his revolver in one hand and a white plastic carrier bag in the other. He walks across the room and puts the gun and the carrier bag down on a sideboard, then walks slowly over to the bed. Katrina tries to back away from him as he approaches, but can't as she's tethered by the hands and feet. He sits on the bed and signals for her to be quiet by holding his finger up to his lips. She stares wide-eyed in fear as Montoya reaches over her and pulls the gaffer tape from her mouth.
What's your name?
With a surly expression, Katrina ignores him.
Do you understand what's happening?
She draws breath.
Hey! Don't fuck with me, honey! I'll snap your neck like a twig! Now nod your head yes or no. Do you understand what's happened to you? Do it!
She shakes her head.
All right. Now I'm going to explain it to you. First, I'm going to take my hand off your mouth. You scream.
He twists her head slightly to one side.
Good.
He lets go of her mouth.
Now, what's your name?
Katrina.
Okay, Katrina. Here's the score.
He He puts the covers over her and sits down on a chair beside the bed. They regard each other for a moment.
I took off your clothes. I cleaned you up. I tied you down. I also saved your ass. You've been bitten by a vampire. Do you remember the party at the motel? Big guy, pointy teeth, really shitty breath. Don't worry. It'll come back to you soon. A master vampire has a telepathic link with his victims. You're gonna help us find them. And while he's sleeping, we unleash on him. You're the bait, honey. Sorry.
Her face is moist with tears. Jack drives the armored truck along a straight road through rolling prairie countryside. Father Adam sits in the passenger seat beside him.
Yeah, I know all about you, Mr. Crow. I mean, I know that your parents were bitten by vampires and you were raised by the church, brought up to be its master slayer.
Jack stares irritably at Father Adam.
You know, the truth is, I didn't want to be forced on you like this. I was supposed to take over for Father Giovanni when he retired. You know, I've always dreamed of this. I mean, ever since I first heard about you, heard about the Slayers. I wanted to be part of the team, you know, just do whatever I could. I mean, for example, if you wanted to receive the sacrament of confession...
Jack pulls the truck violently over to the side of the road, throwing Father Adam out of his seat. Jack then gets out of the truck and marches around the front of it. He yanks Father Adam out of the vehicle onto the verge.
Who set us up? Was it you?
Oh!
Who set us up? Who was it?
Oh!
Was it you?
Who set us up? I don't know what you're talking about!
You don't think I'll kill you, because you're a priest. You are seriously misjudging the wrong motherfucker!
You want to kill me? You go ahead and kill me! I don't know what you're talking about! I don't...
Jack straddles Father Adam, pointing his gun at his head. He considers, then gets up.
We'll see about that.
Jack marches back to the truck. Later, Jack drives and Father Adam dusts himself off with a handkerchief.
Where are we going?
Jack glares at Father Adam.
You have to tell me what's going on, Mr. Crow.
Jack shoots him a look.
Have you ever seen a vampire? No. Well, first of all, they're not romantic, all right? It's not like they're a bunch of fucking fags hopping around in rented formal wear and seducing everybody in sight with cheesy Eurotrash accents, all right? Forget whatever you've seen in the movies. They don't turn into bats. Crosses don't work. Garlic? You want to try garlic? You stand there with garlic around your neck. One of these buggers will bend you fucking over and take a walk up your Strata Chocolata while he's sucking the blood out of your neck, all right? They don't sleep in coffins lined in taffeta. You want to kill one? You drive a wooden stake right through his fucking heart. Sunlight turns them into crispy critters. Got it? See this map?
He hands him a map.
This map shows all the encounters in the United States as far back as the 1800s.
Never seen this.
No one has, outside the team. Look at the southwest. See the spiral pattern?
Yeah.
If you time sequence all the encounters, you get a logarithmic pattern, ever widening. It's a search pattern, Padre. They're looking for something.
You know what it is?
I heard stories when I was young. Something about a black cross. About vampires walking in the sunlight.
Father Adam's thoughtful.
Padre, can I ask you something?
Yeah.
When I was kicking your ass back there, did I give you wood?
What?
Huh? You get a little mahogany from that, a little ebony? Come on, tell the truth.
Father Adam's speechless.
Just fucking with you, Father. Forget about it.
Back at the Plaza Hotel, Montoya lies on the sofa watching the TV. Katrina lies asleep on the bed. There is a flash of red for a moment. Valek, the master, arrives outside a small church somewhere in the countryside. He smiles faintly as he watches people leaving the church. Katrina tosses restlessly in bed, then opens her eyes. Telepathically, she sees through the eyes of Valek as he watches the priest close the doors of the church. Valek grins. Katrina gasps, unsure of what she's seeing, and sits up on her elbows. She looks over at Montoya, who's nodded off on the sofa. He jolts awake. Clutching his revolver, he sits slowly up on the red settee and stares bleary-eyed over at Katrina, who looks back at him. He lights a cigarette.
What time is it?
He puts the lighter down and looks at his watch.
9:10.
Katrina nods. Montoya gets up off the sofa and goes over to a dressing table. He takes a bread roll from a white paper bag and proffers it to Katrina.
You want one?
Mm-mm.
You gotta eat something.
I can't.
He shrugs and turns away from her.
Wouldn't mind a cigarette, though.
Montoya takes the cigarette from his mouth and walks over to the bed. He offers it to her and she takes it.
We're gonna have to work on this. The less you eat, the faster the virus moves through your bloodstream.
Virus?
Yeah, that's what I call it. Nobody knows what it really is. Poison, Kool-Aid, whatever, it all does the same thing. Turns you into a vampire.
Katrina sits up cross-legged on the bed. Montoya inspects the filling of his bread roll, then, shaking his head, spits out the mouthful he'd taken into a paper napkin.
What happened to the other girls at the party?
They didn't make it. I'm sorry.
Katrina nods.
So you remember now?
He sits on the bed.
Yes, son. Why doesn't anyone know?
Nobody wants to know. That's how vampires survive. They're smart. They keep their numbers low, live in small bands, and the real world never catches on.
She looks up at him.
Will I end up being one?
I don't know for sure. Probably. Unless we find him before you turn, then maybe there's a chance. Look, here's what we do know. You're connected to the master vampire now. He's a part of you. And this link will grow. You'll never be able to get him out of you. Not while he still exists.
Then I don't want to live.
You may not.
He gets up and she looks shell-shocked as his last comment sinks in. Montoya walks back across the room to the sofa, takes a cigarette from a packet on a coffee table and lights it. Katrina leans back against the bedstead, looking thoughtful.
Can I get dressed now?
Sure.
Could you get me a towel or something, maybe?
It's not like I haven't seen you naked.
Oh, fuck it.
All right. Easy. I'll get you a towel. One towel coming right up. I won't peek.
He goes into the bathroom. Later, wrapped in a white towel, Katrina goes into the bathroom. She goes to close the door, but Montoya prevents her. He stands in the doorway, holding it open.
Nice try. Leave the door open.
No way.
A little bit.
She closes the door, leaving it open about 6 inches, then wanders over to the sink and looks at her reflection in the bathroom mirror. She sighs, then starts. There's a flash of red, and telepathically she sees through Valak's eyes. He walks in through the front door of the church. A cleaning lady is tidying the altar. He walks up behind her and she turns around. He slashes his hand across her throat, slitting her neck. In the bathroom, Katrina has slumped to the floor beside the sink. She gasps in horror. In her mind's eye, she sees Valak's point of view as he advances on the priest who has come out of the vestry. He shrinks back from Valak. The vision ceases and Katrina glances out of the bathroom at Montoya, who has dozed off in an armchair. She slowly pulls herself to her feet and grabs her clothes. Montoya wakes up and looks around. He goes into the bathroom and finds it empty. He goes over to a window and looks out. Katrina is standing on the ledge outside the next window along. He runs up to the next window, reaches out and grabs her.
Oh God, do it!
Damn it, let me go! Let me go! Let me go!
God! He pulls her back through the glass.
Look what you did! Ah!
Ah! She bites into his arm.
You fucking bit me! Are you fucking nuts?
She runs over to the toilet.
Where are you going? You bite me, huh? Get up! Fucking bite me! Fucking bitch.
He knocks her out on the bed, then gets a lighter.
Fuck.
He goes in the bathroom, opens the lighter and sparks it up.
God damn it.
He holds the lighter flame to the bite.
Ah! Ah! Ah!
He bangs the top of the sink, then gets a bandage and wraps it around his arm.
Fucking stupid whore.
He goes back into the main room and answers the phone.
Yeah. Where are you? Huh? No. I'm fine. Yeah, I'm fine.
Room 312.
All right, I'm coming up. Stay put.
Montoya opens the door to Jack and Father Adam. Father Adam introduces himself to Montoya.
I'm Father Adam Gito. You're Tony Montoya, I believe. You look different than your picture. I'm an archivist. I've studied the team extensively.
Jack walks over to the bed and looks down at the unconscious Katrina. Montoya walks over to join him. Jack points at Katrina's face.
Montoya, what's this bruise on her jaw?
Montoya closes his eyes.
I had to hit her. She was trying to kill herself. I had to pull her off the edge of the fire escape. Then I fell through the window.
Jack casually examines the broken window.
That's all.
Montoya paces nervously next to Father Adam.
Yeah.
Jack looks out of the window into the street, then back at Katrina.
So why'd you slug her?
I cut my arm in the broken glass. I was pissed. I don't know. I fucking slugged her. Who cares?
Jack looks from Montoya to Katrina and back. He then nods at Father Adam.
So, new padre. We've been ordered back to Monterey. Rebuild the team, start over.
We're going back to Monterey?
No. Callahan's whole team is gone. Slaughtered.
So it's just us now.
That's right.
Who is she?
Some hooker. Bitten by Valak. These vampires are psychically linked to each other. As soon as she hooks into Valak, we go looking for him.
We have orders to follow, Mr. Crow.
Yeah, well, fuck you, Padre.
Language. Mr. Crow, if you're not going to follow orders, I'm going to have to call Cardinal Alba.
Father Adam starts dialing. Jack walks casually over to him.
Language.
Jack whacks him.
A little chat about language. Shall we? See if the syntax works for you. You don't make a phone call. You don't blow your nose. You don't wipe your ass. Unless I tell you. Okay?
The priest from the church sits hunched beside a blazing campfire. Valak walks slowly towards him, crouches down in front of him, and opens an old yellowed map. He hands it to the priest, who studies it. In the hotel room, Katrina suddenly opens her eyes as she sees the scene in her mind's eye.
Show me.
With a shaking hand, the priest indicates a point on the map. Valak snatches the map back. In the hotel room, Katrina sits upright on the bed.
Jack.
They walk towards her.
Katrina, can you hear me?
Katrina nods her head.
What is it?
There's someone else now. Someone you're connected to in your mind. You know who I'm talking about? Katrina, what are you saying?
I can't.
Yes, you can, honey. You're here with us now and you're safe. Well, where is he? What are you seeing?
It's dark.
All right, come on, honey. Keep trying.
Valak points to a spot on the map.
It's a map.
Valak lowers the map and walks towards the terrified-looking priest.
Need a location, Montoya. Come on.
I'm fucking working on it, Jack.
Before she loses him. Come on.
You want to switch places?
Just come on.
All right, Katrina, listen very carefully now. I need to know exactly where you are. What you're seeing right now. Details.
Valak strokes the priest's face and smiles at him, then chops his head off.
No! All right, I'm safe.
A priest? You said priest? What priest?
Moving now.
Come on, honey, stay with him.
It's a sign. You know, highway. That's a San Miguel.
San Miguel? San Miguel? Come on. Hey, come on, keep trying. You have to.
I can't.
God damn it.
Jack, link's broken.
What priest is she talking about? God damn it!
I can get a list of all the churches in San Miguel County if you'll let me use the phone and call the archdiocese office.
Get it. Call every church. Find one where an old padre is missing. Road trip, Montoya. Your job is to watch this girl. Damn it!
Montoya rubs his neck.
Hey, what's wrong with you?
Montoya shakes his head.
I'm just tired, that's all.
Montoya walks across the room and rubs his face. Jack walks after him and stands behind him. Jack looks down thoughtfully.
Is there something you want to tell me?
Montoya turns slowly around to face Jack.
Nothing you want to listen to, man.
Montoya slaps Jack on the shoulder and walks off. Jack looks troubled. The next day, Jack and Father Adam are in the church at San Miguel with the local sheriff.
Yeah, I got the facts this morning from the Cardinal's office in Santa Fe. You're an investigator working for the Catholic Church?
That's right. We're looking into a possible nationwide pattern of anti-Catholic hate crimes. Yeah.
It's pretty damn savage.
Jack bends down and takes a sheet off the body of the cleaning lady. Father Adam winces at the sight.
Oh God, Lord, always merciful and forgiving.
What about the old priest? Any of this blood his?
His name is Father Molina.
Not to betray them to the enemy. Sorry. That I deliver them.
Listen, you get something on this case, you're going to share it with me, right?
That's right.
I'd better not find out different.
You won't.
Okay. So far, it looks like all this blood's from Mrs. Fisher. We're not going to know that for sure until we get a sample through pathology.
Is anything stolen?
Just Father Molina.
We found him.
A sweating deputy looks at the sheriff and Jack. Later, they're at the murder scene.
Lord.
Jack glances down at the decapitated priest's body and puffs on a cigar. After a moment, he wanders off past the remains of the campfire. Father Adam follows after him. Later, they're driving along in the armored truck.
Get this. Why come all the way to North Podunk and attack some old, small-town priest and a cleaning lady? Does this make sense? Balak didn't feed on either of them.
Father Molina was a well-known scholar of early Catholic history in the United States.
Who gives a shit? What's the point?
I don't know what the point. I don't know why Balak killed him.
The picture of Balak.
What's the symbol?
Cardinal told you. The church doesn't know.
Yeah, I think you and the Cardinal are lying sacks of shit. Come on, Padre, help me. The hour's getting late.
Father Adam looks awkward as he considers.
It's a medieval astronomical sign. For the sun.
Jack's grim-faced as he considers the possibilities. The sun sets over the western landscape, staining the sky orange. A coyote stands on a hillock watching it go down. Valak's black-clad arms emerge from a patch of dry, dusty ground and he sits up, soil falling from his face. As he rises out of the ground, three more sets of arms burst out of the earth behind him, and three more vampires rise up, their faces and clothes stained black by the earth. As they stand up, more undead burst from the ground around them. Eventually, there are seven other vampires behind Valak, some male, some female. Valak leads the way and the other undead follow in his wake. In the hotel room, Katrina telepathically sees the scene.
There are seven more with him now. Powerful.
Are they masters?
Yes.
Montoya and Jack exchange an anxious look. The black-clad master vampires stride purposefully across the dusty nocturnal prairie landscape. Two monks come running up to a small monastery perched on top of a hill. The vampires approach the bottom of the hill, and the monks ring the monastery's bell. A bolt of forked lightning flashes down to the prairie. Jack locks up the armored van outside a motel. Inside the motel, he ushers Father Adam into the bathroom. Father Adam eyes Jack evenly.
Padre.
Jack walks up to Father Adam.
I'm beginning to like you, so don't make me hurt you, okay? Just tell me what you know. I'll buy you a beer and get you laid, come on. You don't tell me I'm gonna have to start cutting on you.
The two men circle around each other.
No, you won't. You're a righteous man, Mr. Crow. Besides, I serve a higher master than you. Any secrets I keep are kept to protect the church and its followers. Part of your...
Open your mouth.
What?
Open your mouth. Hiya.
Jack stuffs a wad of toilet paper into Father Adam's mouth and pulls a knife. Jack takes Father Adam's hand and cuts his palm with the knife. He pushes him up against the wall.
You listen to me.
He holds the blade close.
My father kept a secret once. He'd been bitten by a vampire. He kept it a secret from me and my mother. By the fifth day, he was turning. At night, he attacked my mother. And then he came after me. I killed my own father, Padre. I got no trouble killing you. Last chance. Now open your motherfucking mouth. Open your fucking mouth! Didn't be prepared.
No!
What? You ready? What? Excuse me, what?
Valak! Valak is looking for an ancient relic to cross a Berzier.
Montoya stands close to Katrina, watching her. In her mind's eye, she sees the group of vampires walking towards the monastery.
After his trial, the church declared Valak was possessed by demons. He was taken to a small town in the south of France called Berzier. An exorcism was performed using an ancient, forbidden form of the ceremony. It was long and very brutal. And then something went wrong.
The vampires approach the front door of the monastery, which is now closed. The monks bolt it shut from the inside.
The wooden gate is opening.
The vampires kick the door to the monastery open and go into the courtyard.
The accounts are confused, but they refer to an inverse exorcism. The body is destroyed, but the possessed soul remains. The exorcism transformed Valak into a creature whose body is dead, but lives on.
A vampire.
In the monastery courtyard, the vampires set about systematically slaughtering the monks. A monk holds a crucifix up in front of him, but a female vampire knocks it from his hand and throws him into a wall with such force his skull shatters. Valak makes his way across the courtyard as the monks are hacked, slashed, kicked, ripped, sliced and diced by his accomplices. Valak walks into a small chapel off the main courtyard. The altar is illuminated by a large number of candles, and in the centre of the candles is a crucifix of about a foot long mounted on top of a pole. Valak stops and stares at it for a moment, then walks towards it.
It's a cross.
In the courtyard, the other vampires throw the remaining monks around as if they were matchwood. One of them lands on a blazing torch and it sets fire to his habit. In the chapel, Valak approaches the cross.
The stories you heard about the Black Cross are true. It was used in Valak's exorcism and then taken back to Rome. It's known as the Berzier Cross. The cross was then shipped to the New World. It was moved over the years from one Spanish mission to another. Its exact location was kept secret even from the Vatican. For hundreds of years it was lost. And recently, Cardinal Alba discovered the name of the only living priest who knew the location of the cross. Father Joseph Molina. Cardinal Alba and I came to the United States to find Father Molina. To reclaim the Berzier Cross, and that is all I know.
In the chapel, Valak lifts the cross away from the altar and stares at it. Katrina sees him in her mind's eye. Jack pats Father Adam on the shoulder.
You're a good man, Padre. Welcome to the team.
Father Adam stares miserably into the distance.
God, forgive me.
He closes his eyes. In the chapel, Valak raises the cross victoriously above his head.
He found it.
In the motel, Jack stares grimly ahead.
Let's hit it.
The next day, the Jeep leads the armored truck along a country road.
Wait, stop the car.
Montoya pulls the Jeep over to the side of the road. The armored truck stops just behind it.
That way.
Katrina indicates a dirt road to the left of the highway. Montoya drives off down it and the truck follows. Sometime later, the Jeep and the truck pull up outside the monastery. Jack, followed by Katrina, Montoya and Father Adam, make their way into the monastery courtyard. Both Jack and Montoya carry their guns at the ready. Father Adam makes the sign of the cross as they walk into the courtyard, which is littered with the bloodied bodies of the monks. Jack looks grimly around at the carnage. Father Adam walks across the courtyard towards the chapel. Jack spots him and calls to him. Jack indicates that Father Adam should wait for him. Montoya and Katrina look over at the fountain in the centre of the courtyard. It runs red with blood. Jack and Father Adam cautiously approach the chapel. Jack steps through the door, his gun at the ready. Having established that it's safe, Father Adam steps inside and walks over to the candle-lit altar.
It was here.
Jack uncocks his automatic and lowers it in frustration. Montoya and Katrina walk amongst the fly-blown bodies of the monks. Jack steps out of the chapel, goes over to them, and puts his gun in his belt. He turns to Katrina.
You picking up anything?
He's gone.
You don't look so good.
She hasn't turned yet, Jack. Ah. She just can't eat.
Well, maybe what she really wants is a little human blood. What do you think?
I said she hasn't turned
yet. I heard
yet.
What you said.
Jack steps forward, grabs Katrina's face, and pulls her mouth open. He examines her teeth.
Hey, why don't you back off?
What's with you?
What do you mean, what's with me? What's with you? You're being such a fucking asshole.
The fuck is your problem? You're not starting to fall for this half-dead old hole.
Montoya plants a left hook on Jack's face.
Nice shot. Want to try again?
Stop it! Get the fuck out of here!
What are you doing? Looks like we're about to have one fuck of a good fight.
No! Do you know why Valak wants the Berzier Cross? Think about it for a minute.
I think Valak wants to finish his transformation. The exorcism was never completed. Valak was left vulnerable, able to survive only at night.
So if he completes the ritual...
I think the balance shifts. For 600 years, Valak has wanted to find a way to live in the daylight.
Oh, fuck me.
Now with the Berzier Cross, he will. A master vampire... able to walk in the sun, unstoppable, unless we stop him.
Jack looks at Montoya.
I guess we'll have to finish this some other time.
Yeah, we got 8 hours of sun left. Come on. Come on.
Jack and Father Adam head back to the vehicles. Montoya turns to Katrina.
Come on, baby.
He takes her by the arm. On the road, they pass a sign. Santiago, 7 miles.
That's where he is.
Montoya glances at her.
Santiago.
Montoya glances back over his shoulder. Santiago is a typical western town, a cluster of clapboard houses huddled around a central street. The jeep and the armoured truck bump along the main street, and the vampire hunters look out at the hick town, which appears to be completely deserted.
Place looks empty.
Jack smiles at Father Adam's comment. Katrina looks at the buildings as they pass.
He's near.
Montoya looks around as if he thought he might spot Valak. They drive past an establishment called Mary's Bar. Opposite it is a large, low building with an iron lattice doorway. The vehicles come to a halt just beyond of Mary's Bar, and Jack pulls out his automatic and cocks it. In the jeep, Montoya looks over at Katrina. Jack and Father Adam jump down out of the armored truck. Montoya climbs cautiously out of the jeep. He and Jack walk slowly across the street, looking around. Montoya pulls his chrome-plated revolver out of his belt, holds it up in the air, and cocks it. Jack peers in through the window of a diner, then opens the door, gun at the ready. He steps inside and the door closes behind him. He advances cautiously into the diner, constantly on the lookout for any sign of the vampires.
Hello?
Jack and the others meet up again outside.
What do you figure the population of this jerk order is? 20?
I say 30, maybe more. Now the question is, how many of them are goons?
Worst case scenario, half. 15 dead, 15 goons.
If you took the whole town, Valak would have had to have been here, what, several days?
That's right, Padre. He set this up slowly, one goon at a time. Now he's got the cross and the biggest nest of blood-drinking motherfuckers the world has ever known. What do we got? 3 slayers.
2 slayers.
Jack looks around thoughtfully.
It's time to kill some vampires. You with us, Padre?
Father Adam nods.
Yeah, I'm with you.
The location.
Montoya walks back to the Jeep and looks in on a very weary-looking Katrina.
Where is he?
Montoya shoves his revolver back in his belt, then leans on the door of the Jeep. Slowly, Katrina turns her head to look over at the long, low building opposite.
Everywhere.
Montoya leans closer to her.
Katrina, baby, listen. Is he in there?
Yes. He's in there. In the dark.
All right, good girl.
A sign on the building says condemn, no trespassing.
And the best constructed building in town is?
Jail, of course.
Bingo. She senses him in there.
Think she's telling the truth?
Yeah.
Suppose he's taking control of her. What if he's using her?
Then I guess I'll pay with my life, won't I?
You're not the only one, amigo.
Jack and Montoya unload equipment from the armored truck. Montoya hands Jack a spear with a light on it. Then Jack opens a case of protective clothing. He goes over to Father Adam and removes his dog collar, then replaces it with a chainmail neck protector. He pats Father Adam on the shoulder. Montoya ties Katrina's hands to the Jeep's roll cage so she can't get out of the vehicle. She shudders and he leans into her.
Can you hear me?
She slowly turns her head towards him, looks at him and nods.
I'm sorry. It's gonna be alright. I'll take care of you.
He gently touches her cheek.
Shh. I promise.
She nods and attempts a smile, but the vampiric infection makes her shudder involuntarily. Jack, clutching his crossbow, Montoya armed with a spear, and Father Adam, now sporting protective clothing and carrying a gun, walk up to the latticework gates of the jail. Montoya prods the gates with his spear, and one of them squeaks open. The trio stand in the open doorway and peer into the gloom within for a moment, before advancing cautiously inside. Jack arrives at a steel inner door and boots it open. They look in. A further set of steel doors can be seen a little way inside. Jack turns the light on top of his crossbow on and carefully checks the immediate vicinity of the doorway. Breathing heavily, Katrina looks over towards the jail from the Jeep. Jack, Montoya and Father Adam kick the second set of steel doors open and go in. They shine their torch beams around looking for any sign of Valak. As Father Adam passes a partition, a female vampire jumps up from behind it. They train their weapons on the vampire.
She's thirsty. She smells your blood, Padre. Oh,
God. A male vampire grabs Father Adam. The female runs out from behind the partition.
Take the woman, Montoya!
Montoya punches the female in the face, knocking her back. The male knocks Father Adam to the floor and moves into biting.
Cocksucker, come on! Come on!
Jack shoots the male in the back with the crossbow and pulls him back with the line attached to the bolt. Father Adam blasts the vampire with his gun.
With the snake! Kill him with the snake! Through the heart!
Father Adam frenziedly stabs away at the vampire with a wooden stake. It collapses onto the floor. Montoya skewers the female with his spear.
How do you like your steak, bitch?
He runs her through, then hustles her towards the door on the end of the spear. As the vampire gets into the light, she begins to smoke. Whimpering, Katrina watches from the Jeep as Montoya forces the smouldering undead towards the latticework gates and full sunlight. He heaves the vampire out through the latticework gates, and she bursts into flames and collapses onto the ground. Montoya looks over at Katrina in the Jeep. In a security office, Jack uses a bank of video monitors. There's no sign of activity. He turns to Father Adam and Montoya.
I wonder if there's another way up in the cells.
I hope not. Doesn't look that way.
Well, we'll have to make him come out of the elevator. It's a straight 30-foot shot to the door.
That means using the cable.
That's right. Forget the winch. We're going to attach the cable right to the Jeep. Do it fast. Just yank him right out to the sun.
Someone's going to have to drive the Jeep.
That's right. Give me this
one. How do you expect to lure him into the elevator?
Well, somebody's got to be inside. Escape hatch, huh? Yes. Okay, when they get inside the elevator, one of us goes up through the hole. The other guy's up here, presses the button at security control. The door's shut, they get trapped inside.
But it has to be me.
What?
I mean, you have to be up here, Mr. Crow, to fire the crossbow.
Whoa. You want to drive the Jeep? I'll do it.
I can't drive. I never learned.
Okay, Padre. Lather up and shave your ass. You're the bait. Let's go.
Jack walks off. Father Adam and Montoya exchange a look. Outside, Montoya drives the Jeep up to the front of the jail. He turns to Katrina, who's still tied to the roll bar.
Katrina! Katrina, listen to me! You've got to try to hold on, okay?
Jack and Father Adam are in the security office looking at the monitors.
You seen Valak?
Nothing yet.
Anything?
There.
Jack points to a figure on one of the monitors.
There.
The silhouette of a man passes across one of the monitors.
Okay, I'm ready.
You gotta be fleet of foot, Padre.
I know.
I'm not kidding.
I know. I used to play soccer.
Soccer?
I was captain of my team.
I better be the one.
No, I'll be fine.
You will.
Don't worry about me, Mr. Crow. You just shoot when the door opens.
You can count on that.
Jack and Father Adam clasp hands.
Padre.
I know.
Okay.
Father Adam walks off to the elevator. Jack picks up his walkie-talkie.
I'll tell you.
Hooked and ready, Jack.
Father Adam walks into the elevator and checks the escape hatch in the roof. Jack watches him on the monitor. Father Adam waves at Jack. The elevator doors open and Father Adam stares out into the cell block. He steps up to the doors and peers out. Jack watches him anxiously on the monitor. Seeing nobody, Father Adam cautiously begins to walk into the cell block. Jack gawps at his monitor in alarm.
What are you doing?
Father Adam walks slowly down the main corridor of the cell block. Jack becomes highly agitated.
Get back in the fucking elevator!
Father Adam comes to a halt as he spots the silhouette of a man at the far end of the corridor. The figure sprints towards him and he turns and runs back to the elevator. He hits the door closed button.
Shit!
The vampire runs into the elevator.
Get ready, Montoya. Here we go.
Jack watches as the elevator doors close. Father Adam scrambles up through the escape hatch onto the top of the elevator. The vampire jumps up after him. Father Adam aims his gun at the vampire, but the vampire knocks it out of his hand. Upstairs, Jack crouches ready with his crossbow. On the top of the elevator, Father Adam dodges the vampire's flaying hands. Upstairs, the doors of the elevator slide open. Jack peers into the empty elevator and hears the sound of the struggle on its roof. He puts the crossbow down and steps into the elevator. The vampire's foot dangles down out of the escape hatch. Jack grabs it and tugs the vampire back down into the elevator. The vampire kicks him out of the elevator and Jack grabs his crossbow. As the vampire advances on him, Jack shoots the vampire in the chest, knocking him back into the elevator. The doors begin to close. Jack dashes forwards and forces them open. He wedges himself between the doors and yells to Montoya.
Montoya, no! No, you can't! No!
Montoya backs the Jeep away from the doors of the jail, and the vampire is hauled out of the elevator, along the corridor, and out into the sunlight, whereupon it promptly bursts into flames. It's one of the masters and burns with a bright red light. Montoya gets out of the Jeep and glances up at the sun. Inside, Jack shouts up to Father Adam.
Padre, you okay? Yeah, you didn't bite your scratcher. Okay, come on.
Father Adam jumps back down into the elevator.
No, keep the doors!
As they step out, the doors close behind them.
It's going all the way down. Okay, bringing it up. Sorry about the doors. No harm, no foul, Padre.
A vampire grabs hold of the bottom of the elevator.
You did good in there. I have to do it again, don't I? Shit, we're running out of time.
The elevator rises up from the cell block with a female master clinging to it.
Why aren't the doors open? What's wrong?
Jack walks towards the elevator and draws his gun. Father Adam looks at the monitors.
Jack! You should look at this.
Jack turns back.
What?
The elevator doors explode outwards, knocking Jack over, and the vampire stalks out. Father Adam goes to attack her, but she throws him aside. She advances on Jack as he lies on the floor, but Montoya steps in and sprays her with a machine gun fire, knocking her back towards the elevator. Jack stands up.
Shit!
As the vampire leaps towards him, Jack shoots her with the crossbow and she flies backwards.
Montoya! No! No! No!
Montoya runs back to the Jeep, jumps in and fires it up. The vampire and Father Adam pick themselves up.
Montoya, go! No!
The Jeep backs up, but the vampire grabs hold of a steel pole. The Jeep strains to pull her away.
No! Montoya! No!
The wire cable goes taut as Montoya spins the Jeep's wheels, trying to get her to let go. Finally, the wire cable breaks.
Shit!
As the Jeep stops, Montoya wins himself.
You never told me they could do that?
I didn't know they could do that.
Jack knocks Father Adam over with a spear as he approaches the vampire. Montoya refastens the cable. As Jack fights the vampire, the Jeep backs up. The vampire and Jack are both dragged towards the sunlight. Jack blasts his pistol into the vampire's face. Father Adam throws a wooden stake to Jack. Jack plunges the stake into the vampire's chest. As they're pulled out into the sunlight, Jack rolls off the vampire just as she bursts into flames. It's dusk and the sun is disappearing from view. Montoya prepares the cable on the Jeep for another foray.
Look at the sun!
They all look up at the sky.
We're finished.
Now we gotta go back.
Rule number 10, Jack. You can't kill a master at night. It's over.
In the Jeep, Katrina shudders.
He's right, Padre. Let's go.
Jack and Father Adam walk away. Katrina looks over towards the jail, a smile playing on her lips. As she looks, Valak, followed by about 20 other vampires, emerge from the mouth of the jail. The Jeep begins to drive off, and Jack and Father Adam walk towards the armored truck. Valak calls across the road to them.
Hello, Jack.
They turn around, and Valak snarls at them. Jack runs towards the truck, while Father Adam dives towards the deserted diner. Jack shoots at Valak as he flies across the street at him. Montoya stops the Jeep and opens fire on the other vampires. Valak savagely knocks Jack about beside the armored truck. As hordes more vampires emerge from the jail, Father Adam dashes inside the diner. Montoya starts to reload his machine gun, but a now fully vampiric Katrina snarls at him from the passenger seat. He puts his foot down and drives off out of town. Father Adam hides under the counter of the diner. Valak grabs Jack.
Your war is over, Crusader.
Valak hurls Jack up onto the roof of the armored truck, and he passes out. As Montoya drives down the road out of town, Katrina breaks free of her bindings and sinks her fangs into his throat. The Jeep swerves off the road and comes to a halt as Katrina rips a chunk of flesh out of the side of Montoya's neck. Montoya weakly holds her head as she drinks his blood. He smiles faintly and passes out. Katrina gets out of the Jeep, blood running down her face and blouse. She walks back towards the town. In the town, the vampires have lit a fire and tied Jack to the front of the armored truck. With a start, Jack regains consciousness and looks around. A A female vampire sniggers at him as another one walks by carrying the Furzier cross. Valak looks over at Jack as Cardinal Alba comes over and stands next to him.
Hello, Jack.
Jack, shocked and confused.
From your expression, I assume you couldn't possibly understand my presence here. I'm sorry to disillusion you, Jack. As one grows old, as death approaches, we begin to question our faith. And I found mine lacking. Is there a God? Is there a heaven? I can no longer answer this for certain. I've witnessed no miracles, had no visions, and the prospect of death terrifies me. I realized I have only one alternative, and I made a bargain with the devil, if you wish.
You are truly a pile of dog shit, Cardinal.
Yeah, that's right. That's correct, Jack. And I can live with that. After I've given Valak what he wants, you will fulfill our bargain. And I will be transformed into one of his new children. It's beautiful, isn't it? Eternal life.
The Cardinal smiles.
Immortality. Change your heart.
Valak.
Valak looks at him.
Why don't you prove you can kick my ass? Come on, untie me. Now, come on. Fucking pole-smoking fashion victim. Come on over here.
Jack.
Come on, 5 minutes and you can bite my ass a little. Would you like that? See me all tied up, huh?
What will silence you?
Come on, untie me, you prick.
Perhaps this will help.
Jack follows Valak's gaze and sees the blood-soaked Katrina approaching. She smiles at him.
Apparently your friend is one of my children now.
Jack shakes his head.
You are alone, Crusader.
Jack grimaces. In the Jeep, Montoya regains consciousness. He feels his neck, opens the door of the Jeep and slumps out. He sits up and reaches back inside the vehicle for his machine gun. He cocks it, then fires a burst into the air and uses the hot barrel to cauterize the wound in his neck. He removes the barrel from the side of his neck and throws the gun back into the Jeep. Back in the town, the vampires have constructed a large cross. Jack views its erection with mounting apprehension.
What the fuck do you want from me, Valak?
Valak walks over to Jack and crouches down in front of him. He brings his pale face within inches of Jack's.
You hate me so, don't you? But you made me, Crusader. You hate what you've made. You fear it because it is superior to you. For 600 years, I fed on your kind and will.
He grabs Jack's jaw with his right hand and wipes his left hand over Jack's face. Valak gets up and goes. Cardinal Alba comes over to Jack.
Why don't you just kill me and get it over with?
Because you're needed, Jack. The ceremony is a reenactment of the original exorcism. It requires the blood of a crusader and his crucifixion upon a burning cross. The climax of the ceremony must coincide first rays of the rising sun.
Father Adam listens in.
Sorry, Jack.
In the diner, Father Adam sees a shotgun hidden under the counter along with a jar full of cartridges. He grabs them. Outside, Montoya watches Valak praying at the foot of the Furzier cross through a pair of field glasses. He looks over and sees Jack tied to the large cross. Montoya lowers the field glasses. In his red robes, Cardinal Alba conducts the ceremony. In the diner, Father Adam loads the pump-action shotgun. Cardinal Alba sprinkles some holy water on the Furzier cross, then picks up a ceremonial dagger. The Cardinal slashes Jack's leg with the dagger.
Mother
He then holds a gold chalice under the wound and collects the blood in it. Father Adam cautiously sneaks out of the diner with a shotgun. Cardinal Alba allows Valak to drink Jack's blood out of the chalice. The blood dribbles down his chin and he looks over at Jack. Father Adam climbs up onto the roof of the diner. Cardinal Alba looks up at the sky and sees the very first rays of sunlight. He prepares to light the pyre at Jack's feet, but Father Adam shoots him in the back. Jack looks up.
Padre! Now what are you gonna do, Valak? You got nobody to complete your ritual! The sun's starting to rise!
Valak points at Father Adam.
You will finish the ritual.
Holding the gun to his head.
Try and make me!
Out of my Padre, fuck with him! Hey, Valak.
You're shit out of luck, pal. Give it up!
Valak glances at the dawn rays creeping across the sky. He looks down and picks up the flaming brand Cardinal Alba dropped, and grinning at Father Adam, holds the brand towards Jack's crotch. Father Adam lowers the gun from his head.
Finish it!
No! Finish it! No!
Valak moves the brand closer to Jack's crotch.
Come on, Padre, my nuts are on fire here!
Father Adam and the vampires turn and see Montoya driving the jeep back towards them. Katrina snarls at him. As the jeep goes by, Montoya stands up with Jack's crossbow. Jack's eyes widen in alarm, and he bows his head as Montoya shoots the crossbow into the cross above his head. As the jeep goes past, it pulls the cross with Jack on it out of the ground and tows it down the street behind it. Father Adam jumps down off the diner and grabs a fire axe. He runs over to free Jack from the cross.
Come on, Padre. Don't kill some vampires.
Father Adam cuts the ropes holding Jack, and Jack gets up. As the sun rises, the vampires begin to smolder and run back towards the prison, the vampire hunters spraying them with bullets as they go. Some of the vampires don't make it back in time and burst into flames. Katrina runs into the shade of a doorway. Valak tries to grab the Furzier cross, but his hands begin to ignite as he reaches for it. Katrina runs through the doorway and Montoya goes after her. Valak leaves the cross and runs across the road towards a garage. He begins to smolder. Jack grabs the Furzier cross. Valak roars at Jack, then goes into the garage. Clutching the cross, Jack goes in after him. Inside the shady interior of the garage, Jack looks cautiously around. An ancient car lies in the middle of the room. Jack walks close to it.
End of the line, Valak!
Jack spins around, hearing something, and Valak emerges from behind a pillar at the opposite end of the room. Jack spins back again as Valak speaks.
You still with us, Crow?
Jack walks towards him.
I don't burn so good these days, Bloodsucker.
Valak holds out his hands.
Give me the cross.
This cross? Let me just ask you one thing. After 600 years, how's that dick working? Pretty good? Huh? Come on.
The cross!
Valak leaps at Jack, who runs him through with the cross.
Stop this!
Jack forces the skewered Valak back across the room.
Die, die, you fucker, die!
Valak grins.
Jack!
Jack picks up a plank and whacks Valak with it. It breaks, so he whacks him with another.
Jack!
Valak knocks Jack flying with a Furzier cross, which is still stuck in him.
You can't kill me.
Valak begins to pull the Furzier cross out of his chest. Wide-eyed, Jack looks around and notices a wooden joist holding up the rickety roof of the garage. He scrambles to his feet and pushes the joist away, bringing down the roof and exposing Valak to the sun.
You ugly, blood-sucking scumbag, die!
Valak ignites in a blaze of orange and red flames and finally explodes for good measure. Jack is knocked back by the blast. He gets to his knees.
Shit!
He looks over at the burning remains of Valak and gets to his feet. After taking a few moments to compose himself, Jack hobbles off out of the garage. Montoya has caught up with Katrina and puts a blanket around her.
Listen to me, it's gonna be okay. We'll be right back. Okay?
Katrina nods. Montoya leans forward and tenderly kisses her bloodstained mouth. Jack comes hobbling out of the garage and limps into the street, which is strewn with the charred remains of dead vampires. Father Adam stands over the body of Cardinal Alba, still clutching the pump-action shotgun he found in the diner. Jack bends down and picks his automatic pistol up off the ground. He checks the magazine and senses Montoya appear behind him next to the armored truck. He turns slowly around to face him.
You look like shit, Montoya.
Montoya turns to the armored truck.
Where are you going?
South.
You love her that much.
We make the perfect couple, Jack.
Not leaving! Padre, back off. No. Don't make me come over there and beat the shit out of you, Padre. Back off! He's a vampire, Jack!
Father Adam aims at Montoya.
Rule number one. If your partner is ever bitten by a vampire, never, ever let him live.
Jack walks between Father Adam and Montoya.
Padre.
Father Adam and Montoya lower their weapons.
I'm not a slayer anymore, Jack. Besides, the way I figure it, the two of you got plenty to do cleaning the rest of them out.
Meanwhile, she hides in the back of the van, out of the sunlight, while you make for the border. Try to catch it by nightfall, is that it?
I need a vacation, Jack.
When did she first bite you?
Montoya looks down sheepishly.
2 days ago. I still covered your ass.
Yes, you did.
Jack looks away, a contemplative expression on his face.
So I'd say I owe you 2 days back.
Montoya nods. Jack turns to Father Adam.
What'd you say, Padre? You've got 2 days.
Montoya stares at Jack, who walks slowly over to him. Jack brings his face close to Montoya's.
Wherever you go, I will find you. I will hunt you down. And I will kill you. The girl too.
Montoya looks down miserably and nods. Then he glances up at the sky. Jack follows his gaze and the two men embrace.
Back in the earth, my friend.
They break their embrace and Montoya climbs up into the armored truck. Jack shuts the door behind him. The truck pulls away and Jack watches it go. Father Adam walks over to join him.
Time to slay some vampires, Padre. You up for it?
I guess so.
Just the two of us.
No, Mr. Croft. He was always with us.
Father Adam hands Jack a string of rosary beads. Jack looks at them, then puts them in his belt.
Fair enough, Padre. Let me ask you a question. When you were stabbing that vampire in there,
yeah,
did you get a little wood?
Mahogany.
Excuse me?
Ebony.
What?
Teak.
Are you possessed by demons?
Major Chubby.
Language, by the way, language. Come on.
They walk into the jail. The end. ITFC audio description by John Walskill.